The headline said that the stock market suffered its greatest loss yesterday since 9/11. But I heard some good news. Somebody told me that Iran was trying to get nukes, and that George Bush, being the wild and deranged warmonger that he is, had a plan to go in so Dick Cheney could take Halliburton into Iran, too. But I heard good news. You see, every time I open that paper, they don't talk to me about the good news. But I've got to tell you, I'm bulletproof against the bad news. I've got joy down in my heart that current events and circumstances can't touch. I've already heard enough good news to offset anything that you might want to bring. Listen, my sins have been washed away. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know God is alive, and He rules and reigns forever. There's not anything in the stock market. There's not anything in the geopolitical arena that can touch that kind of joy or the knowledge of God in our lives. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we're not upset about circumstances and current events, and we don't get the heebie-jeebies and worry too much about what's happening, because I figure God's in control, and I figure He's moving us exactly, expressly, strategically where we need to be. Don't you? Isn't it great living for God? Even bad news is good news. Praise God. We're in Psalms 19, Wonder of Wonders, and we're going to pick up in the section beginning with verse 89. Psalms 119. And we're glad, I tell you, we are thrilled to have Brother Gary Ellis coming a week from Sunday to be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. He just kind of fell into our laps. He was scheduled to be in New York, but it wasn't the will of God. It was good for us that he's coming this way. I love the man's teaching. I love his testimony. And he's going to bless the house with his word. Praise God. Psalms 119, beginning in verse 89. And would you say, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's already established. It's already been spoken. It can't be changed. The devil can't do anything about it. And all the circumstances that might rise up, they can't touch what God has already spoken concerning his people. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, the things God has prepared for me, he prepared from the foundation of the earth. And can't anybody change that if I've got a mind to serve him? Praise God. That's good news. Verse 90, would you say, thy faithfulness is unto all generations? It drives me crazy when they want to say the Holy Ghost is just for that crowd back in the first century. But I'm glad Peter said it's for you, your children, those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. He hadn't brought us down to the end time, and now he's going to refuse to give us the Holy Ghost. Would you say, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. Elbow your neighbor and say, it means he's made me alive. I am thine, save me. For I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. But I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Why don't you offer up praise and thanks to God? Clap your hands. Lift up a shout. Mighty God, we thank you for your word. It truly is forever settled in the heavens. Thank you, mighty God, for the privilege of handling your word in the house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And I agree, Brother Jeff, go ahead and stand up and prophesy about your house and about your family. The word of God is nigh you. It is even in thy mouth. Let me tell you something. Nobody else is going to stand up and prophesy for your house and your family. Nobody else is going to stand up and say, in the covenant of God and by the power of the word of God, the things that your heart desires, you need to stand up in the middle of your spiritual authority and responsibility and sound off for the kingdom of God. Praise God. It's time to get vocal. It's time to find your voice in prayer and in praise and in prophecy. Well, praise God. The devil wants to shut you up and shut you down and close off, because nothing happens but by prayer and praise and prophecy. Nothing happens but by prayer and praise and prophecy. But when God's church finds its knees and finds the altar and finds its confidence, and they begin to praise and they begin to prophesy. Prayer says we've heard it and we believe in God. Prayerlessness says I've already stopped believing. Praise says I still believe God no matter what the world throws at me. Praiselessness says I've given up the fight and I'm waving the white flag of defeat. And prophecy says you ain't seen nothing yet. Prophecy says, I believe that the best is yet to come. And I believe God saves the best for last. My God, prophecy says you've got an expectation in the spirit that God is about to do something awesome in your life, in your home, and in your world. Well, praise God. But if the enemy can shut up your prayer and quieten down your praise and put a sock in your prophecy, nothing happens but by covenant people speaking the word of God. There are sleepy towns that are covered in darkness where there is yet to be a church. The difference between them and this place tonight is prayer and praise and prophecy. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 89, your word is settled in the heavens. It's already over. It's already done. God's already spoken it. He's not making this up as he goes. He's not waiting to see how it works out and then pulling out plan B. The flood was not a crumpling up of the blueprint of God and a changing of God's plan. Because Revelation 13 and 8 declares, he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. It was already done. The word of God is the blueprint of God that scrolled out upon the heavens. And the first thing on the blueprint of God is the picture of a man hanging on a cross. Well, praise God. Slain from the foundation of the earth. We understand in man's time it was 4,000 years into the calendar of man that the Christ would go to the cross. But it was already done and the word of God was already spoken. You say, well, how do you know that? But I know it because in 3 and 15 of Genesis, the word of God said that God would cause the seed of the woman to put his heel on the head of the serpent. That happened at Calvary because God in the mouth of Abraham said, God would provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. That happened at Calvary because Psalms 22 said they would pierce his hands and his feet and that they would gamble for his garments. It happened 1,000 years before he walked up the rugged face of Golgotha. How can God do that? Prophecy is nothing else than a brief glimpse, a tiny glimmer of what's already established in the heavens. Prophecy is, look at this. I've got something coming. prophecy is the word speaking to Israel that God's going to open up the church to the Gentiles. In the mouth of the ancient prophets, it was already established before revival broke loose at the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. I'm glad to be alive in these wonderful days of prophetic fulfillment. I want you to just take a look. This is some of the most powerful prophecy that you can handle, and we handle it a lot, but I'm not apologetic about handling it here tonight. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, praise God. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. That's talking about the Christ. He is the root and the offspring of David. He's the root of Jesse, which shall stand for a sign or an ensign, a signal, a flag, if you would, for the people or for the nations. He's going to be an open door for the Gentiles to come to God. And to it, this man, Jesus Christ, shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Is there a shout in the house tonight from somebody that thinks his rest is glorious? That rest is the Sabbath day fulfilled in the Holy Ghost. Everybody that has the Holy Ghost and speaks in tongues, you are a walking fulfillment of this prophecy. This prophecy is an utterance concerning God's will that was already established in his word, and thousands of years later, he poured out the Holy Ghost on you, and that word was fulfilled. But here in Isaiah just opens up the curtain a little bit and said, look what's coming. God's going to raise up deliverance out of the house of Jesse. Look what's coming. God's going to raise up a rest that is better than the Sabbath day rest. Look what's coming. The Gentiles are going to get in on the plan of God. Praise God. Verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, in the day of the Christ, in the day of the Gentiles coming, in the day of the rest of God, glorious in the Gentiles. That's this church age. It'll come to pass in that day, this church age, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. The second time, that means twice God's going to scatter his people all over the earth, and twice God's going to gather them, and the second time is going to be during the church age. Don't you realize that in 1948 this prophecy was fulfilled when God opened up the door and Israel began to come back to the land again, and they began to come from Poland and Czechoslovakia and Russia and all over the United States, and there's Jews in the Middle East tonight from every corner of the earth because of out of disobedience God struck them and by prophecy scattered them all over the world, and by prophecy gathered them together for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple. And then at the time of Jesus, 70 years after the birth of Christ, Titus comes in and destroys Jerusalem, and they're scattered again. And for almost 2,000 years they languish and they sleep among the nations. But then a sound goes out in the spirit, and Jews begin to get up from all over the world, and they begin to make their way back, drawn inexorably, drawn by the power of the Holy Ghost back to that birthplace in Israel, because the word of God said it. Because the word of God said it. Somebody say, because the word of God said it. Praise God. Look at Luke chapter 21. Jesus, this is after the first diaspora, the first scattering of Israel, and he's standing in the rebuilt Jerusalem. Jesus in the rebuilt Jerusalem is walking with his disciples, and in Luke 21 and verse 5, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They're walking through Jerusalem, and the disciples are amazed at the finery and the power. These are Galileans, and all they have is little one-story huts in Galilee and in the little towns where Jesus and the disciples were raised up. But they're walking through the glamour of Herod's Jerusalem and Rome's Jerusalem, and they're saying, well, look at all the finery Mary, Jesus said, take a look, because not one stone is going to be left on another. And he was just opening up the curtain a little bit and showing them what had already been established from the foundation of the earth. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and the Jews were going to be scattered again. Verse 24, speaking of the second scattering and the second destruction of Jerusalem. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's why there are Jews all over the world today. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Gentiles are going to control Jerusalem. Everybody say until. That's a time stamp right there. That's to let you know they're going to be destroyed. But it's just for a time. They're going to be scattered, but just for a time, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles is the church age. So down at the end of the church age, Jesus is saying there's going to be a regathering of Israel back to the land. Now, I'll just tell you this. I heard the dumbest thing since, well, you know, you just run out of space on your disc for dumb things that you hear. Recently, it was the Da Vinci Code. Jesus and Magdalene had an affair, and Leonardo da Vinci knew about it. Now, you laugh, but you got people sitting in churches all over America that don't believe in the blood. They don't believe in the resurrection. They've long since left the Word of God because they've set it aside. Even they may not say it overtly, but they've already set the Word of God aside, so they don't believe in the Word of God. And my idea about that is, why aren't you down at the bar? Why are you in a church when the whole legitimacy of the church is from the Word of God? And when you've set aside the Word of God, you've set aside the legitimacy of the church. You've lost your mind. You're the most pathetic creature on the face of the earth. You're worshiping a religion that comes from a book that you don't believe. You're serving a redemption or a redeemer that you don't believe really died for you. And now they've found the ossuary, the burial place of the family of Jesus. And the names are engraved there, Jesus and Mary and their son Joseph. And the names that are connected to the biblical story in that small of a population area, the probabilities that those names would show up together in that time frame and not be the Jesus of the Bible and the Magdalene of the Bible. Oh, it's like 900 million to one. So what does this prove? Well, it casts a great shadow upon the veracity of the scripture. And it calls into question whether or not Jesus got up from the grave, had a date with Mary, went off and got married, had children, lived a happy life, and died and was buried. Somehow it proves, Joy, that Jesus just was a normal Joe, and that he just lived and died, and then that disproves the whole business of the resurrection. And this one fantastic theory, we have torpedoed 2,000 years of Christianity. Isn't it amazing? I guess where they get the names and the idea for their theory. You know, people that are in an insane asylum, they all think they're okay. Why? Because they're all in there together and they're all just alike. And they all think this is the way it is. But when you walk in amongst them, like, these folks aren't right. These folks aren't right. Do you understand what I'm saying? The names, dear, that you draw for this wonderful philosophical discussion, you derived from the Bible. You're not getting this. They want to take some scripture and use it for leverage to prove that the Bible's not true. You getting this? That's the whole discussion. That's the whole discussion. And to me, it's insanity. It's stupidity. It's insipidness. I don't have words. I don't have words. So, there's a voice out there at every juncture saying, the Bible's not true. Has anybody noticed Israel is in the land? There's a voice out there at every juncture saying, you don't have to obey the Bible. Has anybody noticed that it happened just like Isaiah said it happened and that this is impossible? You know, the naysayers and the Da Vinci coders and all of them, they stand where we are and they look back on time and they say, this is how it happened and the Bible's not really true. But the Bible stands way back at the beginning of time and says, this is how it's going to be. And as we walk along the timeline of history, we find out that it happens exactly like the Bible has declared, and I have to bow my knee before the word of God and say it is forever settled in the heavens. If you're glad for the word of God, clap your hands and lift your voice. Praise God. Praise God. Why do you believe the word of God? Because the prophecy just knocks me down every time I look at it. Why do you believe the word of God? Because the prophecy led me to a place of personal experience. And they told me if you lift up your hands and you begin to praise him, something's going to happen to you. I lifted up my hands. I began to praise him. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've never been the same. And I'm so glad that I believe the word of God tonight. It happened just like the Bible said it would. I've done it for 30 years now, and all along the way, it's just like the Bible said. Just like the Bible said. Sowing and reaping, just like the Bible said. Blessings abundant, just like the Bible said. Prophecy and tongues and interpretation and discerning of spirits and the word of God leading us all along the way. My God, clap your hands unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is anybody in the house impressed with the word of God? Number two. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, his word is faithful. Tell them it's dependable. Praise God. The 90th verse says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abides. Praise God. When you walked out your door this morning, were you a little bit worried that when you planted your foot, I got to be careful, because I might destabilize the earth on its axis, and that would be a mess because the polar ice caps would slip off and the oceans would overcome the continents, and where there was land, there'll be water, and where there... Did you think those thoughts? Did you worry about it? Did you drive extra slowly and carefully? And did you put your brakes on softly? Because I don't want to disrupt anything. Because the global warming theorists would like you to think that you can destabilize the whole fabric of the earth. You better be careful what you do. But the word of God said, it's going to be here and it's going to stay. As long as there's people on the earth, there's going to be winter and summer and fall and spring and harvest. You know, God put enough food here for the whole trip. God put enough resource here for the whole trip. And all you can do in all of your manly history isn't going to hurt any more than one belch out of one volcano. Besides that, all the people that are beating the drum on that issue are flying around in Gulf Streams all by themselves, burning up all the fuel. And all the Hollywoods that are trying to get you to drive a Civic. I don't care what you drive. It's immaterial to me, and it doesn't matter to God, and whatever makes you happy and what fits your budget and all that. But these bozos that are trying to get you to do that, and they're having big fundraisers, and they're trying to get in touch with nature, and they're trying to be in touch with a socialist agenda. They're all riding around in limousines. And when they get ready to go to the Bahamas, they fly on a jet all by themselves. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to not wax political here. But the Bible said, thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Abideth means it just keeps on abiding. It's going to keep on abiding. And until God says otherwise, there's nothing you can do about that. Don't lose a minute's sleep about it. But the proposition here is, if God can hold this orb in its place with no strings around and no visible physical platform for it to sit upon, don't you believe for a moment that he can't hold up your house, your life, your prayers, your family, provide your needs? Don't you think he can take care of you? It's already established. If you ever doubt that the word of God is already established, step out tonight. Go leave this building right now. Go out and find yourself a dark spot somewhere and check out the stars and check out the moon and jump up and down on the earth and know you can't move any of it. He did it by his word. God spoke it all into existence. They continue unto this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Praise God. They're all the servants of God. The generations and the created things, they all serve to God's good pleasure. Unless thy law has been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Praise God. He preserves us by his word, exactly as he's preserved Israel by his word. He can preserve you. Don't you find it a bit outstanding that they've walked over the face of the earth for 2,000 years and God kept them in their integrity as a nation? Do you realize that that's impossible? They should long have been assimilated into the cultures around them and sucked up into the nations. There shouldn't be a Jew in the earth today, but they're full in the land of Israel, and they speak the Hebrew language, and they're reading from the word of God. And the writer said, if I hadn't delighted in the word of God, I would have perished in mine affliction. I want you to know, every time your circumstance rises up and threatens you, you need to hold up the word of God. Every time somebody opens their mouth and tries to move against your Holy Ghost experience, you need to hold up the word of God. Every time the devil comes to you, you need to be wise like Jesus in the wilderness. And when he begins to say, if you are the Son of God, and if you really do have the Holy Ghost, you need to say, it is written, it is written, it is said. You need to fill your mouth with the word of God. You need to step up in the morning and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. The word of God is forever settled in the heavens. I've got a promise that's settled in the heavens. I've got a provision that's settled in the heavens. I've got the hand of God on me, and it's settled in the heavens. I've got the mercies of God around me. It's settled in the heavens. There's grace enough to get me through another day. It's settled in the heavens. When I'm sick, he's my healer. When I'm hungry, he's my provision. Somebody shout, it's settled. Come on, it's settled in the heavens. If you've got a need tonight, I want you to know God's answer is already settled in the heavens. If you're in a spiritual battle tonight, I want you to know the power of God is already settled in the heavens. Praise God. Praise God. He preserves Israel. He will preserve me. Praise God. In the wilderness, 40 years, the shoes didn't wear out. I get my shoes resold. And I go back to the store after I've had them resold about 5 times, because now the tops are wearing out. And I hadn't found anything to do about that yet. But I go back and I try to get the same shoe. And I'm always distressed if I can't get the same shoe or the same shirt that I've been wearing for years. I get really messed up because I hate change. You realize they wore the same pair of shoes for 40 years, and they walked in sand and rocks everywhere they went. But the shoes didn't wear out. And do you realize they wore the same clothes? These girls are not going to like this part of the message. They wore the same clothes for 40 years, and they didn't wear out because the presence of God was upon them, and God preserved them in the wilderness. Because the word of God is forever settled in the heavens, and God can preserve you. You don't need to go to bed afraid. You don't need to get up afraid. You don't need to walk in fear or in anxiety, and stress ought to be a foreign word to you. God's got it. If you believe it's true, you turn to your neighbor and say, God's got it all in control. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. You've quickened me. You've made me alive. Has anybody read that when they went into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb at 80 years of age, Caleb walks up to Joshua and said, I'm 80. I was 40 when we first came. I'm 80 now, but I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. Give me my mountain. He said, age is not a problem. Come on now, I need somebody to get on board with this tonight. If you're aging and your natural mind and the society around you is singing you a song about how pitiful that is about aging, you need to bow up and you need to open your mouth and you need to say the promise of God is real. The goodness of God endures forever. Everything God said to me, he's going to keep me all the way through. And aging is just a part of the process. And I may get a little gray and I may get a little stooped here on this side, but I'm not worried about it at all because I get a brand new body before we're done. And that is forever settled. I get a new body. You say, well, that one's wearing out. Well, it is, but we're going to get a new one. I'm not worried about it. It's not stressful to me. Praise God. He's quickened me. He keeps me alive. Praise God. He keeps me alive. Praise God. Before sin, Adam is made to live forever. Before the flood, even in sin, men are living to be 600, 700, 800 years old. Until God says, I'm tired of this. You realize how much trouble you can get in when you live 500 years? I mean, some folks live to be 70 and they create so much havoc and stress and trouble and they're so mean and hateful. And if people knew they were going to live 500 years, you can imagine why God washed the whole world away. He said, I've had it. We're not doing this anymore. And by his word, he said, I'll give you 120 years and that's it. That's all. Moses lived to be 120. And his natural strength was not abated. And his natural eye was not dimmed. Praise God. After the rapture, we go back to living forever. Praise God. Now, how many of you believe that? Anybody in the house believe that? You need to just relax. See, the Buddhists understand this. They've got this. Because they believe in reincarnation. And they don't get in a hurry. Because they know they're coming back. Why get in a hurry? You might be reincarnated 2,000 times before you turn into a prince. Or a princess. So they're not in a hurry. But that same type of mentality ought to come on us. I'm going to live forever. I can't get it all done today. I'm going to live forever. I'll get it done. If the Lord comes, then it won't matter anyway. What are you stressed about? What are you worried about? I got to get it all done. Well, don't worry. Just relax. Turn to your neighbor and say, just relax. If you're right in God, you're going to live forever. Praise God. You're sick in your body. Just relax. Don't be worried. You're going to live forever. But I might die. Well, you might die, but you're going to live forever. I might get killed. All you parents sitting up worried about your children. worried and frantic. You really need to turn that upside down and begin to worry that something good's going to happen to them. What's happening with you? Man, I'm just thinking about all the good things that are about to happen to my children. Why do you always think the negative things? Because your natural mind is the enemy of God. So it's the enemy of faith. So it always focuses on negative things and terrible outcomes, and it imagines terrible and negative things. So you need to break free from that, and you need to say, His word is forever established in the heavens. It's going to be a good day. The devil's going to have a bad day. Church is going to have victory today. I'm going to live forever. If I get sick, God's going to heal me. If He doesn't heal me, I'm going to go and stand before God. This thing's just getting better and better and better. Come on, you need to get on board with this. The word of God is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Verse 94, I'm yours, God, save me. For I have sought thy precepts. I'm standing in the covenant. I'm standing in obedience. I want you to take care of me, God. Because your word is forever settled in the heavens. Verse 95, the wicked have waited to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimony. Somebody say, the wicked can't stop the blessing of God. Praise God. We're sold out to the word here, are we? I mean, come on, do you really believe the word of God? Don't you know that if God's given you a word, it's forever settled in the heavens? Don't you know that if you laid hold of a promise, it's forever settled in the heavens? And if you are Joseph, the pit can't stop you, and the prison can't slow you, and Potiphar's lies can't stop the dream of God. Here's the word of God. God brings the dream to its fulfillment. God brings the dreamer along with the dream. No, you need to hear that. God brings the dreamer along with the dream. Dream, and all of hell can't stop it. Praise God. You don't know how people have betrayed me. Go read Genesis. They can't stop the promise of God. It's already settled in the heavens. Quit focusing on what other people are doing. Quit focusing on what people are not doing. Quit focusing on all the negative things. Well, you need to get my... It's my mom and dad's fault. No, you live for God. It's my kids that are out of control. You need to live for God. You don't worry about it. You just live for God. You get in your circle. You live for God. And the more you live for God, the bigger your circle gets and the better you're going to be at an influence on other people. Amen. Well, praise God. Quit worrying about everybody else. The word of God is forever settled in the heavens. God's going to bring it to pass. If you'll stand in His word, you're looking for an excuse. You're looking for an out. You're believing what the enemy's trying to convince you of. Verse 96, I've seen an end of perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. These are post-exilic, these writings, and this psalmist is after the exile. He said, I've seen an end of perfection. He has seen the ruin of Jerusalem. He's seen the destruction of the temple. The ultimate moment in Israel's history was Solomon's temple. And David's treasure chest being used to build this magnificent city and temple. And these that went into captivity, they saw the temple destroyed and the glory of Jerusalem absolutely crushed and ruined. And though those things are true, this post-exilic psalmist says, I've seen the end of all perfection, but your commandment is exceeding broad. Your commandment is boundless. Your commandment is comprehensive. Praise God. Daniel is a young man who has seen Jerusalem destroyed. But in a pagan land, without a priest, without a preacher, without a temple, without a city, Daniel stands and says, but I believe the word of God covers this. It's exceeding broad. it is boundless. The word of God covers me in Babylon. Look at, now watch him. The word of God, because of his faith in it, it covers him in the den of lions. The word of God covers him when he doesn't want to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. The three are with Daniel. They go into the fire and they believe in the word of God. Now you hear this. They don't have a priest. They don't have a temple. The perfection of Jerusalem is destroyed. I want you to understand there's going to be a test in your life when your mom and dad are not around, when the preacher's not around, when the church is not around. But I'll tell you this, if your mama and your daddy fail, if the preacher fails, if your hero falls, you've got to hear this. The word of God still covers you wherever you are. You need to get a hold of this. He said, I have seen the end of perfection, but I believe your word is exceedingly boundless. Praise God. Praise God. You need to tell somebody by you, I don't know what anybody else is going to do. I don't know what the future of this church is. And I don't know what that crazy bald head preacher will ever do. But as for me and my house, the word of God is going to cover us, because the word of God is forever established. It's settled in the heavens. Oh, clap your hands into it. Does anybody love the word of God tonight? Praise God. The word of God is my trump card. The word of God is my trump card. Anybody here? Anybody play ungodly games like Rook? I got a trump card. I've got a trump card. When life offers me up something that shakes me to my core, I've got a trump card. It's the word of God. It covers every sin. A trump card, in case you're not a card player, is boss. It's something you keep in your pocket, and it just kills everything. I don't care how big your number is, how big your card is. I don't care how wonderful you feel about having it. When you play it, we just go boom, and we just killed your joy. Praise God. I use my trump card to kill the devil's joy, kill every lying demon's desire. The word of God is my trump card. I can play it any time I want to. I can play it on any situation. And it's bigger than anything you got in your pocket, devil. Somebody say, the word of God is my trump card. My God, if you don't have eyes, the word of God can make eyes. If you can't hear, the word of God can open up and give you new ears. Now, about 40% of you are with that, but you really need to begin to understand this. I'm just telling you what's possible. He's been dead 4 days. Corruption's already moving in his body. He stinks. And the word of God says, Lazarus, come forth. And the word of God begins to move on that decomposing body. And all the fluids that have been oozing out go. And all the maggots go. And wherever he was, he said, I gotta go. And he came back down in spirit and got back into that body. And he said, man, something's rank in here. And Lazarus doesn't understand it. I mean, you wake up in a grave, it's like, kunk, kunk. They roll the stone away. He's still wrapped up like an Egyptian mummy. And he comes out into broad daylight. He'd been gone for 4 days. What brought him out? The word of God. What brought him out? The word of God. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how awful your situation. I don't care about the stink. I don't care about the rot. When the word of God, my God, when the word of God begins to move on it, anything is possible. Let's stand together. Why don't you come down around the altar tonight? Touch somebody and tell them anything's possible. The word of God is forever settled. Touch somebody else and tell them the word of God is my trump card. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you are living for God the best you can right now? Step up on the steps if you're coming out. Some among you are coming into stressful situations financially. Maybe trouble on your job. But I want you to pull out your trump card tonight. And I want you to play it. And I want you to say, blessed. Blessed is that man that doesn't walk with the sinners or sit with the scorners or fraternize with those that don't love God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither. His fruit will prosper. And somebody say, whatsoever. Oh, that's my trump card. Whatsoever. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. My God, maybe I'm talking to all prosperous people tonight. I've got a trump card. Do you know that when Jacob was in Haran at Laban's house, Jacob didn't know anything about Laban's business, but he was the favored of God, the blessed of God, the coveted man. And the word of God came to him and says, tell him, oh, don't worry about me, just give me all the spotted cattle. And then all the cattle started having spotted cattle. And so Laban changed that arrangement and said, man, I'm going broke. You're getting all the spotted cattle. I tell you, I'm taking the spotted ones. You take the striped ones. And Jacob said, that's fine. Because whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then all the cows started having striped cows. And they all belonged to Jacob. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? You don't have to even know what you're doing. You don't have to be a rancher. My God, you don't have to be a Wall Street tycoon and an analyst. And you don't have to understand everything. Just take your little bit, lay it out before God and say, God, your word's forever settled in the heavens. And your word says, whatever I do will prosper. But now you got to get this. Nothing happens but by prayer, praise, and prophecy. Some of you are living way below what God needs and wants to do for you because you're not opening up your mouth and utilizing the word of God. Praise God. I've got a trump card, and it's the word of the living God. My God. I got to stop here. Turn to your neighbor, lay your hand on him, and tell him, I'm going to pray for you that everything God said in his word about you is going to come to pass. I'm going to pray that you will have sensitivity and understanding, that you will open your mouth and say what the word of God has already said, because the word of God is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Lay your hands on them and pray for them right now. Pray for them that they'll be mighty in the word. Pray for them that the word of God will be fulfilled in their life. And when you said everything you know how to say, then begin to say it again in the Holy Ghost. Let that heavenly language begin to flow through your vessel. It's healing, provision, there's power, there's blessing. You need to open your mouth and say what God has said. You need to lay your hand on your babies. You need to walk through your house and say what the word has said. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Come on, open your mouth. Say, thank you, Jesus. Everything I need, you've already prepared in your word.